Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it
just the body punching? I
was hitting him with body punching. I heard him actually crying in there. You're saying that Big was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen?
And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So that you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time?
Absolutely. I knew you were cuffing, you were taking those punches.
From DBLC Productions.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another spontaneous edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. Hashtag TBV Podcast. We are back with another spontaneous episode. This time we're going to be having trainer of Errol Spence Jr., the current IBF welterweight champion, Derrick James, world-renowned trainer Derrick James, who has taken Errol Spence to phenomenal heights, along with Jermell Charlo, who left the tutelage of Ronnie Shields to train over there with Errol Spence and Derrick James. And we've seen definitely a resurgence in his career. I mean, knockout after knockout, ending in his most explosive performance till date with Erickson Lubin. But today's topic at hand is obviously the trainer of Errol Spence and all that is that camp. Obviously, Errol Spence will be facing Lamont Peterson January 20th. So why not pick the brain, the mastermind behind what is Team Spence. Let me head on over to the Golden State and introduce, obviously, my co-host, the Hipster Hunter.
Dollar DiBiase Productions.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck that.
Conor McGregor. BoxingVoice.com.
You know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knock out.
When he said the main thing is, I just want the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yes, the Hipsters here. Haters beware. And I'm glad to have Derrick James on. For one, he is one of the nicest guys in the sport, a genuine good guy in this industry. And plus, when you think about who could be a potential star in the next couple years and who's a young champion right now, he has two in his stable, in Jermell Charlo and Errol Spence Jr., of course. So I can't wait to pick his mind. You know, obviously, I was in Dallas, what was it, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, with Doomy and Ness. And I was in the camp with Errol Spence and Derrick James, and it was just a great time with them. So can't wait to have him on the show and, you know, pick his brain about this fight upcoming with Errol Spence Jr. and Lamont Peterson, how Jermell Charlo just demolished Lubin in one round. I would love to get his opinion on that and what's next for Charlo. And so much. Plus, Rob Brandt, you know, having that really tough loss against Jürgen Bramer. I like to see what's happening with Rob Brandt. So, should be a fun show.
Definitely going to be an entertaining show. I mean, my first couple of questions are going to be those same questions that we get asked here on the show. I want to see if Coach James or maybe even Earl feel the way that some of the Spencer fans feel, that the Porters and Thurman are ducking them. I want to see what his thoughts are on those topics and have any words been relayed. Matt, I guess hold it down. Let me get this thing going, right? Waste some time. We got Friday night fights on Fox, Tuesday night fights on Fox Sports Deportes. We have, what do we got? Miguel Cruz taking on, Grayton. We've seen Grayton before. He got an upset win, I believe, last time he was on TV. Miguel Cruz, I believe, lost. I'm not sure, but.
And obviously, Devin Alexander versus, Walter Castillo.
That is the main event, which is probably more where I should have led with, right?
Yeah, I don't know why you start with the undercard of a, Tuesday night fight.
No, they deserve respect, too.
True. Well, so go get James. I'll be here holding down the fort. Man, I can't wait to talk to Derrick James about really what's next for Charlo. To me, that's the most interesting part. We sort of know what's happening with Errol Spence Jr. What's next for Charlo? Does he pick a Jared Hurd? Does he pick an Ezeulon de Laura? There's so many options for a guy like Jermell Charlo. And right now, he is sort of coming into his own along with his brother and sort of becoming star. So I really can't wait. Can't wait to pick apart his brain about what is next.
Well, No longer do you need to wait. We are definitely live with Derrick James, trainer of Jermell Charlo, Robert Brandt, and Earl Spence Jr., the truth. Derrick, first and foremost, I want to say thank you, obviously, for taking out the time, busy schedule, training on all those champs, and coming on the Boxing Voice here to allow us to pick your brain. So how are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing, man? Talk to you in a minute. And I'm good, man.
I'm good. Matt is obviously my co-host. He's on. So we'll jump right into it, man. I mean, we're going to go through all the customary questions, right? The traditional ones. How's training camp, Derrick? How's things going in the training camp of Earl Spence for this Lamont Peterson fight?
It's good, man. Each fought 12 rounds today with two young guys, two little tough young cats. And it was pretty good, man. Good.
And, you know, not to get off topic, I guess we should have got to this before we got into Earl, because that'll be, you know, taking us some time. But how is Robert Brandt? How's his spirits? You know, can we expect a comeback? You know, is he still on the path?
Hey, man, he's okay, man. You know, he's just your first defeat. And you just got to, you know, get your mind right and try to get back on the path. You know what I'm saying? It's everything is right there. You just got to reach out and grab it, close your hand. You know what I'm saying? So you got to get back on the situation, you know, and find out, you know, what you want to do and go get it.
Now, what do you think that he did wrong? I mean, guys like me, we were high on Brandt. We automatically assume he would beat Bramer due to age and due to the fact that he'd been in fighting at 175 for something like 6 years, and he decided to come down to meet Brandt at 168. What went wrong in that one?
Hey, man, listen, I couldn't tell you. You know what I mean? I can't tell you. I have no idea. I mean, you know, we worked on it. Everything that Bramer did, I mimicked it. We even before the fight, even if you could hear the instructions during the fight, I mean, I don't know. So I can't say. I'm not the guy to bash the guy or whatever, you know. It's the game, you know what I'm saying? Some days you're just not on, or you just don't, you know, and I think that's obviously that day was that day for him. You know, I don't know. I mean, I can't call it. I mean, everything he worked on, everything Bramer did, we worked on. So it was, you know, it was basically, if you think about it, Bramer did exactly what Anderson Lubin did. Kept dipping down. You know, and I don't know. So I can't. I don't know the text.
And I guess my last question, just to round out the Robert Brandt subject, is going to be, has he expressed to you whether or not he's coming back to 160?
He just did that. They just did that for a tournament or whatever. Yeah, he'll be back down to 160, without a doubt.
Well, everyone's here. Everyone's here because we're all interested in, obviously, what seems to be the new star in boxing, and that's Earl Spence Jr. He's grown a very almost erratic fan base. They come out full-fledged to defend him nowadays, and they feel that the rest of the welterweight division is ducking Earl Spence. So I wanted to get your opinion on that, being a trainer. You get to hear, I guess, the stories or see firsthand. Do you feel your fighter is being avoided?
Derrick, do we lose you?
Question too saucy?
Oh, no, Derrick.
Derrick? Derrick? Matt, it's actually your episode. Look at the computer. Look at the board.
What do you mean?
Look at it.
I don't see anything wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
It says send it on my end.
Mine doesn't.
Oh, you're right. It doesn't. I don't know what happened then.
He must have just dropped off. What happens?
Derek, are you there? All right. Well, let's put him on mute and just double check the board by going to first one here, last one to leave. Amin, you there?
Yep.
You're definitely there. All right. So you're good. So obviously Derek went through some technical difficulties in Texas. So we'll go ahead and
you want to try to get him? Right?
Yeah. He just texted me and said it hung up. We're dialing him back. No worries.
These things happen to show business, you know, technical difficulties. We're going to get Derek James back on.
Derek, are you there? Oh, mute, unmute. Right? All right. Yeah. All right. So I don't know if you got the question, but basically I was asking you, do you feel that your fighter in Errol Spence Jr. is being avoided the way that his fandom feels that he is, particularly or specifically by Sean Porter and Keith Thurman?
I mean, I don't like to get into that. You know what I mean? Like, I think that people choose to fight who they want to fight. You know, like, you know, the champions don't get the champions don't challenge people. They're supposed to get challenged. So I think that the champ can say, "I want to fight the guy number 15, number 10." So they have to. The champ has to be challenged. So I think that with Sean Porter and Keith Thurman, I don't know. I mean, I don't think about it so much. I think about what's in front of me. Would I like to fight Keith Thurman without a doubt, you know, but I do my best trying not to interject a personal feeling into a fight, right? So because it's his career. I'm just here as trying to help him get to the next level or whatever. So I don't like to interject my personal feelings into the fight. But I would love to just if Keith Thurman was that guy at 147, everybody feels like he has to beat. I want him to beat him. I want him to fight him. You know, if it's Sean Porter who could possibly beat Keith Thurman, whatever case may be, I mean, it's just I want him to fight him. You know, so I want what he wants. You know, like, you know, I want everything for him that he wants for himself. If you know where that comes from, it comes from the Bible. So it says Jesus wants everything you want for yourself. So I'm not going to interject my personal feelings into it. I'm just going to say I want whatever he wants. The ducking aspect of it, hey man, I try not to think about that. You never want a guy to be afraid of you, because the guy who's afraid of you will kill you. So you want that guy to be not afraid of you. You know what I mean? The guy that's scared of you will kill you. So you just want in reality, in actuality, not in the boxing match, but you know, I'm not into that, man.
Hey, Derek, it's Matt. Thank you for being on the show. It's always great to have you on. You mentioned champions wanting challenges, and that's what a champion should want. When you look at the Keith Thurmans, the Sean Porters, a Terrence Crawford moving up, who presents that challenge in your mind as a trainer that presents something interesting to you, where you go, oh, that's going to be fun to dissect, to make a game plan for? You know, which one of these top welterweights in your mind is that challenge?
You know, I think all the guys are good. I think Sean Porter brings a certain type of fight. You know what I mean? Keith Thurman brings his own different style. You know, and Terrence Crawford has his own personal style. So I think that every one of these fights is very intriguing because, you know, there's the potential to be like the Ray Leonard, Hearns, Hagler, Durant, Benitez. Because these fights can be considered super fights. And they are super fights. I think that, but, you know, everybody wants to have something stewed up. Or, I mean, like, Ray Leonard fought Tommy Hearns, and they both were really young. I mean, they both were really young, and they got at it. You know, Ray Leonard fought, Duran, and they all were, you know, relatively young. So I think the building of the fights is one thing. These guys have already been built, you know. I think that the promoters or the management or whatever have done their job. It's up to the guys to just say, let's get it on, you know. And I think that all these guys pose a very interesting fight. I mean, you know, Terrence Crawford, we got to see how he fares, whoever he fares, where they want to wait. And we go from there. I mean, if it's him, or if it's, you know, Sean Porter or Keith Thurman, I think it's all very interesting. And I think that the fans, the actual, like, heart of boxing is back. You see it in the light middleweight division. These top guys fighting each other, and now you see it in the welterweight division. Hopefully, we can get these guys in there, you know, with keep on, you know, and Sean Porter, you know, and then after that, maybe even Terrence Crawford.
In your opinion, who's a bigger fight, Danny Garcia or Sean Porter?
Man, that's a good one. I mean, I think that, they both, I think similar, you know what I mean? Because, you know, both of the guys, both fought Keith Thurman and lost to Keith Thurman. So, you know, but realistically, we don't, I mean, that's walking sideways. You know, I think we want to face the champion. If there's a champion, then that's who we want to face. You know what I mean? So, you know, so if Sean Porter, it's okay, but he doesn't have he's not a champion. But if he challenges,
but neither is Lamont great. Though. And you're taking that step to the side.
Wait, listen. But Lamont was the WBA regular champion. And listen, I'm the trainer, so I have nothing to do with that. But at the same time, he was the one who wanted to take the fight. So it's not like these other guys don't want to take Sean Porter, so he'll fight L after he fights everybody else. That's what he said. Keith Thurman said he'll fight L, when cows fly, whatever. I mean, whenever, at the end of the year, whenever, you know, or, and Danny Garcia hadn't mentioned anything about it. So who's the fourth guy who, a quality guy who will take the fight? So, I mean, that's who it is. I mean, I don't know, man.
Realistically, in your opinion, when do you see a Porter Spence or a Thurman Spence realistically happening?
Man, I don't know. I'm being honest. I mean, I think that, I'm not a prophet, man. You know what I mean? I would hope that. I mean, believe me, these fights have been presented to these guys. They just have not taken the fight. But listen, believe me, these fights have been presented to these guys. They just have not been wanting to take the fight.
So in these guys, when you say the term these guys, you mean Danny, Keith, Sean?
I'm pretty sure they possibly, I mean, well, we all know, Ellis talked about fighting Keith Thurman like they're sitting right next to him. You know, even we were in London when Sean Porter was in the locker room, I was like, yeah, I'll fight him. Said, yeah, I'll fight him. But right there, like, he was sitting right next to him right after he beat Kell Brook. They asked me, so, yeah, I'll fight, you know, Sean Porter, you know, whatever. So I think that, you know, I think that this just, you know, it's been talked about, man. I mean, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen. I can't call it. Because
no, but just your prediction. Just your prediction, James. I mean, like, because I feel like realistically, Keith has a hurt elbow. He's going to take a tune-up in March. These guys on the level of Earl, Keith, Danny, they only fighting two times a year. So I'm figuring he's going to take his mandatory, which is Sean Porter, because he ain't going to lose a belt just to make a fight with Earl. I'm sure he's going to want to defend his WBC since now Porter's the mandatory. And then 2019, that's me. Now, if someone's going to tell me Keith is going to fight three times, in 2018, I could believe that he'll be fighting Earl. I just feel like it ain't happening until 2019.
Well, you know what? You stated the case, and that's a great probability. But what I'm saying is that he's going to take the fight, but the sanctioning bodies will actually let him forego fighting the mandatory if he fights to consolidate the belts. So he tried to unify the belts. I guarantee you, Jose Suleiman, Mauricio Suleiman, to be like, man, they want that fight, you know what I mean? So they would want that fight, you know. So I think we'll forego the Tom Porter fight. If it was really what he wanted, they would do that. And they'll say, listen, Tom Porter be elsewhere mandatory for the WBC. So I think that I think that would happen, but I don't know. He said he's injured. He's not injured anymore. He had an injury. He's okay now. He's coming back. He's rehabbing. He's getting himself back together. And so, I'm happy for him that he's getting right where he wants to be. I just think that, we can wait for that. It's like Errol said, I'm not going to wait for these guys. He's going to fight somebody. I'm not going to just wait for him. Somebody will come up. It'll be a fight, and he'll fight. Because it's just crazy to wait for him and let the fans do all the talking to see what the reality of the situation is. If they want to fight, they'll fight. If they don't want to fight, they won't fight. And he'll just say, it is what it is. You got to keep fighting.
Definitely got to keep fighting, man. And that's why we do appreciate this Lamont Peterson fight. Earl basically said on social media that, he told Heyman he only wanted top five fighters. And I believe that Lamont is a top five fighter. Let's get into the fight a little bit. We've seen Lamont show, tremendous inside, game in the Amir Khan fight, in the Kendall Holt fight. And usually he's got to chase guys down. Now, it seems like we have two forces that are going to collide because Lamont's always seeking and Earl's always seeking to destroy. Are you expecting a fight in the inside, in the center of the ring, or do you think that Lamont changes the game up and becomes the boxer?
And I'm smiling right now. I don't really know. You know what I mean? Like, listen, put like this. They sport a lot. They sport like a lot. A lot, a lot. It's like he sparred Sean Porter a lot. They said he sparred Errol twice. That's not true. He sparred a lot because Lamont Peterson, Sean Porter, Adrian Broner, and Jorge Linares were sparring partners to help him get ready for qualify for the Olympic Games. So he sparred Linares once. But he sparred Lamont Peterson. I saw him. He sparred Sean Porter. I was there for that too. So we saw him spar this guy. They work together. They know each other. Errol has always looked up to him. He's talked to him like a big brother. So I think it's going to be a great fight. I'm smiling because it could possibly be that type of fight. It just depends on, if a smart guy would box, Lamont would try to box Errol, I would think. But at the same time, he has the ability. It's not so much about what we think he's going to do. He has the ability to fight on the inside. He has the ability to fight on the outside. He has the ability to use the jab. So I think that we have to focus on all of his abilities, all the things we know he actually can do, and focus and emphasize on those things and prepare game plan and strategy just for those things that he can do. We know he can possibly do. He can move around. Try him to do that with Danny initially. Try him to walk Amir Khan down. He won't be able. I don't think he'll be physically strong enough to walk L down. Errol punched so hard that he just changed it all in one punch. Like, he's walking me down, laying a couple good shots, and I think that he won't walk him down anymore. So, when you ask me, and people ask me, what are y'all going to do when Kell Brook tried to hold? And I said, nothing. Because did he try to hold? He couldn't hold him. He's big and strong than him, and he's hitting him with those shots. So, he couldn't hold him. So I think that, it's gonna be a good fight, man. It's gonna be very intriguing. I think will be one of the great fights that the fans will love to see, and it has so many different possibilities.
It does. It does. It has me intrigued for sure, especially because I feel like Lamont is gonna be a guy that, at least in spots, is going to try and be on the inside with Earl. We'll see how long that lasts. I'm happy to hear that they've sparred so much, so there is going to be a sense of confidence from both men. We can agree to that, right?
Or lack thereof,
I love it.
listen, man, these guys are dogs. I'm happy because this is what I always say. I said this to you before, too. We'll never know how good L. Smith is because most of the guys can't take it. So you never know. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to bring, like, this is a guy that's going to bring out the best in L. Smith. Like, what Kel Brook said the day he got out of the hospital, they asked him, because I read this stuff, I see some people say, well, Keith Thurman's going to outbox him, or Terrence Crawford's going to knock him out. And I said, listen, I said, but they didn't hear what Kel Brook said. Kel Brook said, the reason why I stopped in the fight is because it could have been fatal. So, see, he changed the whole conversation. You talking about outpointing the guy. You talking about possibly knocking him out. Kel Brook said, I thought he was going to kill me. So, see, it's two different situations. It only had, like, a round and a half left to go. So, the people are talking about, listen to the man said, I thought it could have been fatal. I never heard somebody say, I thought he was going to kill me. I thought this motherfucker was going to kill me. This is what he said. So, you keep saying this guy's going to outpoint him. You keep saying this guy says, no, I thought he was going to kill me. So, that changed the whole conversation on together. So, hey, we'll see, man.
Now, it seems like not only are the, you know, boxing fans behind Errol Spence, but the networks, Espinoza's definitely behind Spence. Why are we getting this in Barclays Center in New York, neither man being from New York and not in Dallas or somewhere in Texas?
Well, you know, Errol is originally from New York City, you know, but the thing about it is this, man, you think Lamont Peterson is going to come to Dallas? I mean, they already probably got, you know, him, whatever. You know, I don't know what that is, but, and to come to Dallas and fight him, we would love that, but I doubt that. And this is the thing about it. There's no place to fight in America like New York City. Because you don't feel that where the people are very astute and know what they're talking about. They come to see a fight, not just because it got popular, but because they know what to look for. You go to Vegas, everybody's poopoo shishi, you know. Everybody's all decked out, trying to be, you know, the flyest, look the best. They really don't know much about it. They've heard about this guy. They may not know who the guy really truly is, right? But these guys, people in New York, they actually know boxing. I mean, on the East Coast, it's like they know boxing. So you got to eat from D.C. That's an easy flight. That's an easy train ride. You got people from Dallas, three-hour flight. I mean, it's not bad at all. You know, Vegas or, you know, Texas, I couldn't see him coming to Texas. But I can see, like, the people from New York, they know what they're watching. This is like people in the U.K. They know boxing. Like, they know boxing. So I think that there's no other place like New York other than in England. Because they know boxing. So I think that's why they did it, because it's a great place to be, man. It's like, you can walk to the venue right in the middle of the city, right in the middle of Brooklyn. I mean, you can't beat that, man.
And the good thing about Barclays Center is it's really starting to become, like, rooted as a place for great fights and known for boxing. They're doing good numbers. At the very least, people are doing 8,000 ticket sales there. So I'm sure this fight, like you said, will have a good audience, because at least Lamont Peterson fans, that's right there. They can actually drive. If they don't mind the little four-hour drive that I take every now and then when I go visit Lamont, I'm sure they can do it themselves. But speaking of drives, I actually flew in to see Keith this week, and we were speaking, and he had an opinion on Terrence Crawford, and I hate to bounce around, but he doesn't feel Crawford will dominate 147 the way that he did 140. Obviously, he is a horse in that race, and you have a horse in that race. So I just wanted to get your opinion on, where do you think Terrence Crawford falls into this welterweight division, and how far do you see him going?
You know, I don't know where he falls in. I mean, I think he's a very tough fighter. He's a great champion, and I think that those 7 pounds may not make a difference. I mean, you know, but he's a 135 pounder, so I think he's a smaller. I've seen him in person, but I really didn't, like, I don't know how big he is. I don't know, you know, so, I mean, so, I mean, I think he, you know, I think he could do the Manny Pacquiao thing, you know what I mean, like, up until a certain point. Manny Pacquiao is a smaller guy moving up. He's a speed, he's a athleticism, he's a agility to be successful, but I don't know. You know, he's done it with a lot of guys are considered to possibly nondescript guys, even though as a champion, the last guy he fought, nobody really knew who he was. And I mean, I haven't seen him fight since I saw him fight in Dallas. I mean, like that guy. I mean, I haven't watched him fight, so I don't know, you know, who's been fighting or whatever. You know, so pretty sure they've been pretty good guys because. We fought the Russian kid. He did pretty good with that guy. I like that fight. He outboxed him. He outclassed him. You know, I'm all for America. So, I mean, he did really well. And, you know, he can do well. I mean, we'll just see, man. I think he could possibly, I can't say who he will beat because I'm not a prophet. I think he'll fare well because he's very athletic and, you know, he can punch pretty well. So we'll see. It'll just, for me, an arrow is just come down to fundamentals, technique, and technical skills opposed to natural athleticism. So we'll see.
And I don't know if you know, but obviously Max Kellerman has mentioned numerous times on the HBO telecast that, you know, he would love to see Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence. Bob Arum most recently has come out saying that Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence is the big pay-per-view fight. Do you see it that way? Is Crawford could, I mean, you know, we're all set on Earl and Thurman, but is Crawford the bigger fight for Earl in the future?
No, I think that it's possible, man. I think that it just depends on how Earl handles, how if he beats Keith Thurman handedly, you know, they'll come over, he's that, you know, so he had an injury, some of that. I mean, there always be something to be said, but it's possible, man. I mean, you know, I like the way Max Kellerman, he's not going to let this thing go until Terrence Crawford right said, man, I want to fight Errol Spence. Because he's not going to let it go. But Terrence Crawford is trying to say Keith Thurman is the guy, which is like, man, you for real? You know, so because before, if you think about this, before Triple G fought Kell Brook, everybody knew, okay, that this guy, you know, was really the true champion. I mean, he's the true welterweight. He's the bigger, the stronger guy in welterweight division. So, you know, and I didn't see anybody else in the welterweight division beating him, meaning Kell Brook. Then after Earl beat him, I said, oh, you know, keep the guy because he had two belts. Two belts doesn't mean anything. And Dojo, whatever guy name was, he just fought. What was his name? He had two belts. Didn't take a body shot. So I didn't see the fight. I didn't heard about it. So I'm just like, come on, man. So what do two belts mean? You know? So I think that, you know. But we'll see how it fares. I think that Terrence Crawford's a great fighter. And I think that if Bob Arum, they already selling him, that's beautiful. You know what I mean? But we're not going to look past, I don't believe in looking past anybody. So I won't look past Lamont Peterson. I won't look past Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, whoever it is that's in front of us. I won't look past them because it's asinine to do something like that. You know, everything is work. You know what I mean? We got to put the work in if we want to win the fight. So I think that Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence, it's a great fight. I mean, he's going to fight the kid down in Australia. I go for the American fighters every time. So I'm going for him, you know, or whatever the case may be.
Now, we've seen Adrian Broner call a lot of fighters his brother. Rashid Warren's his brother. Errol Spence is his brother. Lamont Peterson's his brother. Danny Garcia's his brother. He's got a lot of brothers. But Errol Spence essentially will fight any of these guys that are saying that they're, you know, their brothers or whatever. Like, no one expected the Lamont Peterson fight to happen because we assumed that there was some close relationship there through the Broner situation and the amateurs and everything like that. Like you said, they sparred. How easy was it to get in the ring with Lamont? Or since you haven't done it yet, how easy was it to get that contract signed, I guess?
You know, what's funny is that, you know, this is the L. You know, I'm Adrian's brother. I mean, you know, for real. You know, for, but all these guys are really close because they have this kinship. They grew up in amateur boxing. You know, Barry Hunter, you know, and Michael Stafford, all these guys are really close with the guys. So, you know, it's like, they really are brothers, man. Really, that's truthful. That's honest. But L will fight me if he could, if we could make some money on it. You know what I mean? If there was a point to prove, he would try to fight me. You know, so that's what I'm saying about him. You know, so he'll fight any one of those guys who are his friends, right? They'll hang out together and whatever, but they'll be friends after the fact. He will, you know, so he'll fight me, man. We walk in the midst and I hit him too hard, he's gonna try to throw a punch back at me. Are we doing something? So he'll try to fight me, you know, so he's a fighter.
Does that make your job any easier that he's so hungry?
Nah, man, it makes the job hard as hell. Cause you think about this: one, you go out there, and it's like I have to work out, I have to stay in shape, I have to hit the bag, I have to run, I have to ride the bike, I have to do all these things, work on my condition, work on my balance. I mean, because you look at it like this: the reality of this, you got a guy who's on point, right? And everybody expects him to look good and look better every time he goes out. And so what happens is this is the hardest guy to train because let me tell you what, most people look at the end results. If you look at a kid like Erickson Lubin, right? He's a great fighter, but everybody looks at the end result. And the end result is just him winning or knocking guys out. They didn't look at the flaws he had, how he's dropping his hand. You know, the trainer didn't correct that. So it's like you gotta focus on everything the guy's doing wrong at every moment, because if not, he's gonna get in that fight, man. He's gonna be exposed. So it's harder. It's not easier. It's harder because his hunger and desire is one thing to be perfect. That's what you want. But I have to be able to watch him if he's dropping his left hand or dropping his right hand. Because by the time you get in the fight, if my hand's so low, he's gonna bring it up. He's gonna get caught with a shot. So that's why you can't let him play in the ring in the spar. You gotta ease focus. And I'm always telling him, do this, do that, nonstop. He even said in interviews that I get on his nerves. But I tell him what to do, whatever. But you know, he likes it, though, because I'm watching. I'm not, like, just sitting there, like, looking around, looking at my phone. I'm sitting on the floor watching when he's hitting the bag. You know what I mean? Because you got to watch everything. Because one little small thing will turn into a great big thing. And so you let him get away with dropping his hands in the gym. You know, his hands are going to still be low, and that other guy is going to make a shot and get caught with a good shot. So it's like it's a harder job, man. But I'm up to it. I work out, like I said, 5 days a week, stay in shape to keep up with these guys, and it's a good deal. Keep me fresh, keep me young, man.
Man, my last question. Obviously, I don't want to keep you too long, and it's already been almost 40, right? I think, but you spoke about 12 rounds of sparring that he did today with two guys. And you still got, like, what, 2 months out? That's a good thing, right, that he's so ready so soon?
Well, you know, he's good, man. You know, he wants to be, like, so, you know, this is his first day of sparring in camp, first day.
Oh, and, wow. Damn, first day? First day and he did 12?
First day.
Kid's superhuman,
yeah.
Huh?
And, you know, I'm sure Lamont doing that also. I mean, like, they know about the fight a couple months before everybody else did. So, you know, but he really was like, he's not going to start training like months ago, but he would spar with Jamel, do like rounds with Jamel, up and get ready, do rounds with Robbie, up and get ready. So he was doing like 10 or 12 rounds before then also. So, but he hadn't done it in like weeks, in like 3-4 weeks. So now it's his first day back. He did the 12 rounds, you know, because he was going to do 11, And the guy was like, this is my last one. He asked the guy, I can't do one more. And the guy did another round, so maybe 12. You know, so he's ready, man. You know, like, I mean, I'm sure Lamont's ready also. I mean, you know, he knows what to expect because, you know, this, he faced L, and L was like 22 years old. And he was ranked number one in the world. Sean Porter was ranked number one. Keith Thurman was ranked number one. No, Keith, but Lamont was at all here and there, so they all ranked number one in the world. And, you know, we spar with those guys. You know, and I'll go back and watch the video of them sparring to see how, see the reaction of everything that they did. Because it's like, when I watched Ruben's fight, I was like, okay, he looks good. Man, he looks good. But you couldn't really see anything. And he really wasn't fighting anybody that was fighting back. But when I watched him spar, Mir Mon, so they put this on the video online. I was like, man, come on, man. Certain things have to be private. So I was sitting at the table in New York. And it's like 2 or 3 years before the fight, I was like, well, watch this a little bit. And I watched it. Oh, man. And then you really realize, so see, you see him fighting somebody who's fighting him back. That's how you see the reaction. That's, and that's where I saw kind of who Eric Sullivan was. Because he was in the ring with somebody who's fighting him back opposed to all the other guys who he fought. But really kind of never really threw punches back at him or not really tried to, you know, try to do whatever to him. You know, so, but, you know, it's good, man. We're ready to go.
Yo, I'm infamous for saying that's my last one, right? I was talking to Ken like Sunday, right? Sunday night, he called into the show randomly. But we're always talking to him, man. And the fight fans are always making me ask, when is he going to fight Earl, right? Because they feel like, oh, they don't want to fight Earl. Yeah, they never mention Earl's name. Ness, you got to ask him. No one else asks him. Ask him. So I asked the question, and they say it's more about a rankings thing, that when they fought and lost to Kell Brook, the IBF booted him out the rankings like a week after they lost to Kell Brook. They were not even in the top 15, so that they would never fight for that sanctioning body again. Do you buy that?
Hey, man, I got to trust and believe the guy. Man, I don't, hey, man, I'm not going to call the man a liar. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that, this sounds like his personal feelings about the situation opposed to something else. So I don't know. I mean, I got to have to trust what he's saying because he's saying it. You know what I mean? But I mean, I don't know. I mean, listen, the point of Errol Spence coming up will be right there in the face of the WBC is not going to let this situation pass. You know, all these sanctioning bodies want the best and biggest and best guy to be the champion, right? So if you all remember last year when they had that the WBC convention in Miami, right? They put a picture of that said Jermell Charlo as the 154-pound champion. Was the pitch of Errol. So listen, they want this guy to be their champ. Errol wasn't even ranked in the WBC. But they had a pitch of Errol Spence and had Jermell Charlo on the bottom of it. So it was a big mistake that they did it. But they, you know, I don't see.
I remember that.
They may have to meet once Porter gets to WBC or Keith Thurman. I mean, I don't, because, you know, it's, think about it like this. This is how you simplify your life. You don't try to indulge in situations that are not reality, right? So, Errol Spence and Sean Porter fight not real. That's why when I told you, I remember, I got a lot of flack here. I said, I'm not watching video of Kell Brook because the fight's not, it's not on wax yet. I said that. It's like, they hadn't signed the contract yet. So I wasn't going to watch it. For what? I mean, you know, I'm not going to waste my time on until they say, get the fight, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, Lamont Peterson, I watched it like a couple times. I've seen him fight so many times, but I went back and watched the video a couple times. Okay, you know, so it's like, you got to just put into, don't try to assume something's going to happen when it's not real, it's not real. The waste of time, like the people came out saying, Errol Spence left Al Haymon. Then they doubled back and said, he's making whatever. And, you know, so it's like, You can't believe it. People start calling me like, "Leave that hanging," like, "Man, what are you talking about, man?" So you know, it's kind of like, you know, man, we just gonna focus on what's real. So I don't know about the Kenny Porter thing. Maybe it's real.
I got another one. A couple weeks ago, Golden Boy said they offered a big-time offer to Earl Spence, but they wanted to sign him to Golden Boy Promotions. Obviously, he didn't take it. Saddam Ali took the fight. Let's just, play a bit of tennis with that topic and see if you can give me any good enough reasons why Earl wouldn't want to be Miguel Cotto's last fight, beat one of the last remaining pay-per-view stars, and easily become a pay-per-view star. I mean, if you beat the man, you are the man. That is the formula, right?
But he's not the man. He was a man. He was a man like years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, pay-per-view, that's like a joke right now because the numbers are not the same. Who are they comparing the numbers to? So we got to, you know, Floyd did it so crazy that got a guy duped the numbers to even make it make sense. So, I mean, the pay-per-view deal is done. I mean, PBC kind of killed that deal. They give you good fights on regular television. So the top guys fight each other on Showtime or either on PBC or whatever. So, I mean, they kind of did away with that, you know, because people are like, I'm not paying for that. We're not going to watch Sean Porter fight Keith Thurman, Sean Porter fight Danny Garcia, and Elson fight whatever. So, but I think that, you know, Cotto, I mean, you know, he's on his way out, man. You know what I mean? And why wouldn't Earl want to, I mean, if their strings attached to the situation, you don't want to be, you know, if you want to intoxicate, you know, you want to send me something tangible. Don't try to lace me up. Think about this. What kind of guy says, how does Miguel Cotto feel like, oh, shit, man, they try to use me to get these young guys, man. I'd be pissed off, like, man, because they're going to get me beat up by facing these guys. Come on, man. When they just want to sign the guy. So, I mean, hey, I didn't know that they called him. That was a very secretive and private guy. He told me, I said, man, did they call you? He said, yeah. It was after the fact. So they asked him in the press conference, he did. He said, I didn't want to do that because I want to start my own promotional company. So that's, then I was like, man, then I asked him after that. He said, yeah, they did. I said, okay. He never mentioned it to me. He never told me. And they even, very proud, a very secretive guy. So, you know, he's not going to tell something, you know, he's not a talker. So, you know, I mean, it's not about Miguel Cotto. It's about more about himself. And he wanted to, you know, start his own deal and not sign with somebody else, man.
I hear him, man. I just wish I was Earl's friend, you know. I don't know. I mean, walk with me here with this thought, right? Like, he goes in there, and let's be honest, right? Yeah. Who's not going to pick Earl Spence to beat Miguel Cotto? Like, who is he really not going to be the favorite? Yes, he's going to be the favorite. Listen.
Yeah, his wife, his Miguel Cotto's wife is not going to pick Earl Smith to be Miguel Cotto. But other than that, you know, he'll be the favorite. Yeah.
Exactly. So if he looks as good as we could assume, I think that the world would immediately start saying, like, Earl and Canelo. I know it's an entire different division, and it would be rushing a guy that started at 47 to now move all the way to either 54 or 60 or some catch weight, but at least it will be the chatter. And being on Golden Boy, it's way more realistic than not being on Golden Boy, right? Because I mean, damn, imagine Earl would have got a Cotto shot, then another HBO fight, and then, boom, a Canelo fight. Because Canelo don't really want those Triple G. I mean, look, he's looking at options, right? He's talking about Billy Joe Saunders winners. He's got options. And we seen him fight a welterweight before in Amir Khan. I'm just saying, they're always thinking big business. Amir was a welterweight, and typically yeah. we would have shunned that yeah. fight, but instead it did 600,000 pay-per-view sales, allegedly.
Right. Allegedly, yeah. But, you know, I think that, I feel like this. One thing about Canelo Alvarez, you have to say, he's constantly getting better. He's getting better. I mean, he's looking better. I mean, when he fought, listen, I had him winning the fight with Triple G, because I think he won the first five rounds. He won the first five, the last three, the last two, that's seven. They won the first four. They won the last two, that's six. So, but, I mean, he had Triple G very apprehensive. He didn't want to let his hands go. He was hitting him in between the punches. He was counter-punching him. He made him look very old and very lethargic. He made him look very unsure of himself. To me, as a boxer, looking at this, I'm like, man, you know, he boxed really pretty, man. So, I mean, he, you know, if they would have dangled that, but they didn't say, listen, hell, you fight Cotto, we'll give you Canelo. I mean, but that fight, that's the fight that the fans are really going to demand. So it really doesn't matter whether he was Golden Boy or not. I mean, I'm like, listen, man, that's the fight. Because, I mean, when you fight like 150-something, he's really not, Canelo's really not a middleweight. You know, he's fighting at 150 so much. So I assume, I mean, I think that's a good fight, man. You know, we got the Mount Jalo too. So don't forget about that. So that's going to be a fight for them. You know what I mean? It just depends, man. I got, you know, he would have to see me either way.
Either way. Hey, which brings me to the 100.
Would you admit? Before you admitted Jamel not one time. That's okay.
No, it brings me to the 154-pound. Believe me, I got a Jamel Charlo question. Did someone just sent me $10 on my super chat to make sure I ask you, right? And obviously, I know the answer. But, yeah. it you know, because of Earl and his actions, maybe the traditional answer isn't the correct answer. So, obviously, in order for, you know, Earl to fight Canelo, a guy that, let's not forget, has already sold 40,000 tickets in, you know, Texas versus Liam Smith. So, imagine how many tickets an Earl and Canelo fight would do. Yeah. But in order to see a Canelo, he's obviously going to have to either go through 54 or skip over it. So, now we talked earlier about the friendships and the brothers. What's going to happen there with Jamel and Earl because you trained them both?
Well, I mean, they just have that's the whole conversation within itself. But, you know, Earl's a 47-pounder right now. He makes the weight pretty decent. You know, they won't fight together because, like, what am I going to do? Each round, switch, you know, go run one side of the ring to the other. I can't do that. You know, so that's a fight that can't happen.
Exactly. No, I agree. But I am asking the questions that the public is sending at me live via our chat, you know.
Yeah.
So, but again, I mean, we had you on for a long time. I am going to go ahead and wrap it up and want to thank you, obviously. Get me in that camp, James. I need to know with time so I could, you know, set that flight up and not have to pay an arm and a leg. But as always, thank you for giving us the opportunity to interview you, giving us a little bit of insight, allowing us to pick your brain, and being such a overall great guy, staying on here with us many, many minutes and giving these fight fans a treat for sure.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. Thank you for having me on, man. And, you know, listen, we got a lot of fire coming. You know, these guys are getting better. Rob, Jamel, and Errol. And it's going to be a big year next year. Man. Hopefully we can get the two them to fight. Or maybe we can, you know, I like what
Oh, man. Guys, oh, man. Someone just sent me a good one. Someone just sent me a good one, man. The Andre, bro. He just signed to HBO, so I don't know if it makes it harder because he moved to 160. Maybe, you know, Jamel doesn't do it. Maybe Jamal does. I know you don't train Jamal, but you know, there was a Demetrius Andre and Jamel Charlo beef that was brewing. They were supposed to fight, and they've had these back and forths at press conferences and in the back rooms of the Barclays Center. What do you think about that matchup? If it ever happens, Jamel, Andre, Southpaw, Orthodox, what do you think?
Well, I think that would be pretty good, man. I would like that fight. I mean, I would like them fight more than any of the other ones, to be honest. Because, you know, it's like, you got one guy starving for attention, another guy, you know, just like, you know, he's ready to fight. So, I mean, they were supposed to fight before. So, not like, I don't know why people keep talking about Charlo fighting Andre when he pulled out his fight before. So, that's what you got to get the clarity on the situation. They were supposed to fight before. Andre pulled out his fight. So, I think that it should be interesting. I like that fight. I love that fight. So, being honest, I mean, maybe he'll fight Jamal. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he can make 154. He's not a big guy. You know, he just, you know, he signed a good race deal. That's a good deal for him. You know, maybe a bad deal for them. I mean, I heard the fight didn't. Who did he fight last time? I heard it was boring. I heard it wasn't that great.
Yeah, he fought Alantes, you know? Fox.
You tell me, because I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to call it boring. I enjoy boxers, but he fought Alantes Fox out of the DMV area over there. His brother, Mikel Fox, you know, two tall guys. But, yeah, I mean, he got a decision. But what about, let me see. Another thing with Charlo is the Herd situation, right? He even said that Herd is an easier fight to him than the Lubin fight. And Herd is starting to show us that he's...
Listen. I think that... I won't say that, but that's him from his perspective, right? I'll say that Herd's a good guy, man. He's a tough guy. I mean, he's very durable. He beat everybody with his durability. Think about it. He was losing to the other guy. He's very durable, though. He's able to withstand it. He's getting outboxed by the older guy, right? Trout. He was able to withstand that. So, listen, that's the thing about it. He's a very durable, very tough guy. And he's big. He's big enough to endure the smaller guys' onslaughts, right? So, but I think it's an interesting fight. I think that, you know, I think that what he means possibly is that the intensity and the pressure, the idea, because, like, everybody assumed that he was going to lose a little bit. Everybody, I don't know why, Showtime, this guy, that guy, everybody, you know what I mean? They thought he was going to lose a little bit. And, you know, so that's what it is, man. But Herd is a guy who you come in there, you train hard for, because he's going to go 12 rounds in the later round, because he's a guy who is tough, man. You got to just use a, you know what I mean? You got to be able to be in great shape, because he gets the guys when they get tired. You're going to get them. So you say you got to be smart. You got to be intelligent. You got to be truly conditioned, because if not, he's going to creep up on you and get you. And that's how he's going to beat these other guys. So, hey, he's got to hurt the real deal. You know what I mean? Because he's the guy that's been able to endure the punches and the punishment or whatever it is to come back and knock these guys out. You got to respect that.
Would you like that next, being as though it's a unification?
You know what I said earlier, that I don't want to interject my feelings, but if they could make it happen, it would be great, man. Man, I want what they want. You know what I'm saying? If I heard Jamel say it, so that's what I want for him. You know what I mean? I think that it'll be a good fight. I think that it's going to be a bomb burner. I think that, you know, because If you look at how Jamel took himself this year into from being an opening act, two co-main events, to first, if you think about this, Jamal Law, Jamel was the first fight. Then he moves to the fight. The next year fight, Charles had to defend his co-main event to Sean Porter. Then he comes back, his co-main event to Law. So now he has surpassed Law in the interest rate, because nobody wants. I mean, come on, man. If you want to see this guy who's going to go in and possibly knock you out with great boxing skills, that's what people really want to see. So now, I believe now, he's turned himself into a main event fighter. He could be a possible superstar, man. I mean, his star has definitely grown. And I think that this would be great to see a unification about, if that be the case. And it'd be a main event. So it'd be his first main event or whatever. The first real big main event on a big stage. So I think he's good, man. I mean, I think that he's shown that he is a bona fide champion. I mean, he came out, he beat guys. He was down in the fight against Jackson. And he showed his fortitude to come back and, you know, do what he did. Charles Hattie, you know, he didn't let him in the fight. If you let Charles Hattie in the fight, Charles Hattie would beat you. So my old dude, do not let him in the fight. Then you got Lubin, who if you let Lubin do what he does, Lubin will beat you because, listen, Eric Lubin, Charles Hattie, John Jackson, all these guys will beat themselves every day of the week if you let them. You cannot let them beat themselves. You have to not let them be themselves. Just jump on them or do whatever you do to you know, stop that, man. You know, look at her. Her to be great. If you let him be who he is, he's great. You can't let these guys be themselves. And that's what it is, man. So, you know, we just got to go out there and jump on these guys and beat these guys and just not let them even get in the fight.
Definitely, man. Listen, Derek, once again, want to thank you for the time and wish you the best. It's always a pleasure talking to you, man. You gave us a bunch of gems. Devin Alexander's getting in the ring right now. Main event on Fox Sports 1 Tuesday night. Toe-to-toe fights. Let's see his comeback. He's been out of the ring about 2 years. But, Derek, if you got any social media you want to give to our listeners, let them know now. If not, brother, we'll get you on ASAP, man. It's going down pretty soon for you guys. So we got to get you back, and I'll see you here in Tri-State area.
Yeah, man. I'm on Facebook, man. I'm not just fly. I'm not on all the other things, but I don't know how to work them. I don't know much about them. So I'm on Facebook, excuse me, Derek D. James. And that's it, man. I'm not, you know, come on, man. I'm an older guy, man. I'm not fly, man.
Nah, man.
You fly, man.
Let's see if these guys that they call themselves experts put your name in a hat for fight of trainer of the year because you did a wonderful job this year. It would have happened if you would have got the Rob Brant win. That kind of iffed it for you right there, right? But Derek, once again,
I think it's always an if, you know what I'm saying? But I think that nobody, I mean, has had two tough fighters, two who made statements. I mean, you go and fight in England, 30,000. See, Errol won International Fighter of the Year. So he won Fighter of the Year already internationally. So it wasn't a big deal. Nobody, I guess they kind of brushed over it in America, but he won International Fighter of the Year. And I think that, you know, when Jamel having two, it's like statement making knockouts. You know, L breaking the guy's face. I mean, you know, made him quit. I mean, that's great. I mean, I don't know what Rob fight would have did it, but I think it shouldn't have been hanging on that because you got two world champions. So one other guy who has two world champions, but his guys are not as great as my two guys. So hey, it is what it is, man. We'll see. If they put me in, they do. If they don't, because when I get hold to it, I'm not letting it go. So, you know, everybody.
You got to grab up Peter Quillen and bring him back, man. You can grab up a guy like Pete, bring him back, and that'll definitely put you in there too.
But, you know, Peter's over there with Virgil, man. So, you know, so it's all good, man, you know. Virgil's doing his thing, but, you know, so listen, but think about this. Jamel Charlo was a guy who moved around, who boxed, who wasn't a big puncher. You know, I worked with his defense, worked with his fundamentals, worked with his technique, and taught him how to punch. You know, I remember him, Teddy Atlas, say over and over, you can't teach power. You have to be born power. Listen, man, what I do is I don't do nothing that they go by. They've been going by because people repeat the same thing, Craig, over and over and over, asinine thing, and people make it real. I don't do anything that do the old school boxing added, nothing. Because boxing is about physics. And if you rotate your body, you got to knock them out with your mirror. knock him out. Eric Salumba may possibly may not ever be the same. I can't imagine Charles Haley could ever be the same. I know for a fact that Kell Brook will never be the same. So you think about it. So these are guys who are knocking guys out, hurting guys, and you teach them how to punch. You teach them how to punch correctly. You teach them how to put hit with their whole body, and that's the key to it all. So, you know, hey, we'll see if they put me in the hat. I thank you for having me on. And listen, anytime y'all want to have me on, ask me some questions. I'm good to go.
Oh, man. We will be having you back on. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Derrick James. Derrick, once again, thank you. Shout out to Derrick for coming on the show. Shout out to everybody that listened. Shout out to my super chat, everybody that definitely blessed us on the super chat. Listen, we got Tuesday night fights, so we're going to go ahead and cut out. Final thoughts was... No, that wasn't the final thought. This was. Final thoughts are... Always great to have a world-renowned trainer. Remember, future, present, past, hit that thumbs up button. Share this. Let the world know about this episode. We got a lot of gems. We spoke about just about everything in the welterweight 154-pound division. We even got a little Canelo in there. Tell a friend to tell a friend. TBV, just put it down. Another great episode. This will be our third episode today. So don't forget to subscribe because if you haven't, notice we're doing a lot around here. So subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit that bell notification so that you can get the emails every time we go live, every time we upload a video. Yeah, I am your host, Nesta Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NessGTO. Do say, my good friends.